Appreciate very much your presentation, Brad. It's very good. Just wanted to make a couple of observations. Of course, we've had the program suspended temporarily in the Dallas-Fort Worth area due to trying to get a different station, a better time frame, which I think would be a wonderful thing if we can do that. Just some words of encouragement. Sometimes you don't miss the water till the well runs dry, so to speak. And I've had a lot of people ask me, where's Let the Bible Speak? You know, where's the TV program? And I think that says something about, you know, the interest. A lot of it has been, of course, among our own people. The other day I was out walking at the mall, which I do frequently. I do my exercise out there walking at our mall there in Cleburne. And some folks stopped me from the Cups Church and said, where in the world is Brett Hickey? He said, we haven't been hearing him on TV lately. And I explained to them that we were waiting for a better time zone and that sort of thing. So you find out sometimes, you know, the TV program is having an effect in our situation when it's temporarily in suspension. And I think that's kind of encouraging to hear people make those kind of comments. Another thing I would mention, I think it's one of the things we fail in probably is not advertising the program enough in our local areas. And one of the things I have been doing, I write for several newspapers in the area around where I work, several towns around those areas. I have a Sunday article in the paper every Sunday. And I advertise the TV program when it's going in that article. And I think that's something that's really needed to try to really let people continually see that we have the TV program for them to watch. And we don't get that out enough, probably. Just some observation.
Thanks, Brett. As you know, our struggle has been, we get a lot of leads. We have over 200, I think, now. And at first, it was, I wouldn't say it was easy to follow up, but it was easier than it is now. And so the problem that we're having now is follow up. You know, I work full time in a secular job, so it's really difficult a lot of times. I can call the people when they first get, you know, I get the response back on Sunday nights, and on Monday or Tuesday I kind of follow up with a call, try to as quick as possible, but it's just it's a little overwhelming. And so I was wondering if, well, you had mentioned there was someone who might could help give us some strategies as to how to do that. So would you talk about that?
Yeah, appreciate that. That's, I think traditionally what my experience has been, we have a hard time getting good leads. Obviously the best leads are referrals. But, you know, we go through those, we work those, and eventually, unless you've got a large congregation like the one here, they may run out. And so we're out of leads. We need more leads. But now we're in a different situation because in a lot of areas we've got a lot of leads, a lot of contacts, but, you know, preachers who may be working full-time are trying to keep up with that, or other leaders who have another job, and how do they make it, how do they get to all that? We have different preachers that are skilled at that sort of thing. We have some that are here. I don't want to embarrass anybody. We need to figure out who are these guys. I mentioned in the report guys like Sonny Fling and Frank Brancato. Have those guys come in for a week. Frank's having kind of a new meeting. Steve Bowen's another one, where new type of meeting, where they come in, well, they call and call. Frank will spend 12 hours a day for several days just calling and calling, developing relationship, developing a friendship with leads. He'll do that for a week. Then he'll go in to that particular area, and Monday through Friday he'll have studies set up, and he'll go visit with those different contacts. And maybe we need to start doing more of those kind of gospel meetings where Oakdale, I know, has had a gospel meeting with somebody else, and they had Frank come in before or during and have him helping work with other evangelistically minded guys during and before that meeting. And then when the meeting comes, you know, we've got outsiders in the meeting. We love gospel meetings, but the primary goal of the gospel meeting is to get the gospel for the lost. And we can have some great preaching, we've got wonderful preachers, but if we've got great preaching and all we have in our audience are Christians and ready to meet the Lord, then that's not optimal. So I think, you know, finding out, and there's other folks, I'm just not thinking of them, that have them come in and, you know, have meetings like this.
Thank you for your presentation, Brett. I want to say, I'm impressed by your work ethic a lot. I appreciate all the work that you pour into this. I don't know how you get it all done. I don't know how you have enough hours in the day. I greatly do appreciate that. I like the TV program. I think it's a good tool to use. Recently in some of my studies, I've been having some difficulty with a couple things that I'd like you to try to help me with. And we have some other preachers here. Maybe you can have some input on this. I don't know about the TV program in a lot of markets. I don't know how it's done. In our market, it's such a big area. I think there's like a 6.7 million viewing population. Yeah. It's very expensive for it to take place. And so it's almost, in a sense, larger than a single congregation can handle on their own. And the way I've perceived it, I don't know if this is a fair perception, this is my perception. It's been viewed as kind of an area's work, not just a single congregation work. In the past, I went around trying to promote other congregations to get involved financially in doing that. Though it wasn't really my congregation, I guess, heading up the program. And when the program was first getting started, there was questions about which congregation should be involved in it and which one should not. We had leadership from multiple congregations get together in a business meeting, as well as a couple members, you know, from, for instance, Corsicana. We had Steve Ramsey come up, and we had long discussions with Steve. There were a couple discussions that took place, and it was to decide, you know, whether they should be allowed in the program, participating in it or not, and how we want to work with that. And I've sat back and I've thought about that. I was recently reading Roy Cogdill's Walking by Faith, and I started to have some questions about that, the idea of, he points out, I think he's right about that, there's nothing larger in the Bible than a local congregation. And I feel like what we have in part is a work that's bigger than a single congregation, and we're having to have church cooperation in a way that you don't see it in the Bible. And when we have these area meetings, it's essentially a board meeting. That's in my mind, and maybe that's not what it is, and I'd like some help in working through that in my mind, I guess, because I'm having some struggles with that. And we have, some of the meetings are just kind of informational. Here's how you can better utilize it at your home congregation. But there do seem to be some times where we've had other type of decision-making processes besides just how to utilize it. And I just want to kind of get your thoughts on that. And I'm having some difficulty with that.
Yeah. I haven't been to any of those meetings. I'm not sure exactly how that works. I do appreciate your concern. I'm not sure. I probably would be best for me, with my mind, would be to have you write that down and for me to think about it, and before I could give an adequate response. But I think that's a legitimate concern that we need to think about, and you know, maybe talk with brethren in that area about how can we, you know, best do this where everybody can feel comfortable about it.
I don't think it's a situation where, you know, the program just has to go away or has to stop or something like that. I think it's a good tool and we can use it. Maybe we need to stop and think. It's kind of like with new technology. How do we use the new technology when it comes along? It's a growing process, learning curve. I understand that. Another question that has come up, and maybe you've thought about some, is it seems like in some ways there's a centralization of the TV program. In some ways, all the leads from across the country go into one area, and then they get distributed. And some things get, like for instance, DVD requests or track requests come from one congregation and go all over to different parts of the country, no matter which market the lead originated in, and things of that nature. And there's some questions about that, and I have a little bit of difficulty wrapping my mind around some of that as well. Okay. And is there a way to make this more of a, when I think of a tract, I think about, okay, I go out and I purchase some tracts, and I hand out the tracts, and the people know that it came from me, and they contact me about the tracts. And if it were, for instance, one congregation in the area, say, where I'm at, Green Oaks, we're the ones that start the program, we're going to follow up. There's leads where we can't get to, or it's not convenient. There's another congregation, so we pass lead off to them. Now that's their lead, and it's a tract being handed out rather than it all going to a central location, then going back out. and having back feet on that. Can you give me, just help me with that some?
I think I understand what you're saying. I'm going to have you clarify in a minute. But like, for example, the DVDs, I look at it as in the same way as like a track. You know, I could have a track and have my name and phone number on it. If I was a wealthy preacher, I could have a secretary, and he could answer my phone, or she could answer my phone. And I could send that track to New York City. I could send that track to Australia, wherever, send a whole bunch of them wherever they go. And when they get that phone number, they see it. If they know how to, you know, use their phone, they can call that phone and my secretary, and my secretary, you know, would get that information down. And if it was somebody close to me, then I would take care of it. But if it was, you know, somewhere else, then I would just hand that off to them. And I see it the same way with the DVDs. Now, these individuals that are they're members of the church, but they didn't, to my knowledge, they didn't say, well, to go to the congregation, hey, can we do this or can we do this? They volunteered as an individual to take on these particular works or jobs, just as, you know, what they can do to try to help out in a good work. And to me, they're you know, like secretaries that just happen to be members of the church.
I understand what you're saying. I guess my question is more, you have a new market that wants to come on, and maybe they want to, you know, distribute their own tracks, and they want to send out their own DVDs. And it seems like when a new market comes on, they have to come and work within a system that's already established. And maybe that's a false perception.
No, I you know, and some fact, sometimes when I start with a new market anymore, I sometimes get bogged down and I forget to send, this is one thing that somebody's doing over here, this is something that somebody's doing over here. And they'll ask me, hey, what do we do? Where do I get a correspondence course? Or what? And then when they'll send that, or if they want to know, hey, where do we get a DVD? I don't know how to do a DVD. Do you know anybody that can help me do a DVD? Then I'll get that information to them. If anybody knows, if somebody says, you have to do this, you have to contact Matt Enos in Iowa, or you have to contact Jay at the congregation in Springfield to get a CD, let me know, because, you know, that's mixed.
I'm not saying they're saying you have to do that, but that's, I guess I'm saying it seems like that's how it's set up, how most of all the markets are functioning. And so it's a difficult thing for, if a congregation just wanted to do it, everything locally, because of everything going through, like, the website, all the leads being generated and going into a certain center and then going out from there, it's hard to follow up with all that.
I can't. Yeah. I can't. Thank you, because I want to clarify. I think, if I can speak for the other guys, some of these guys, their work, 60, 70, maybe more hours a week, and they're pretty much overloaded right now with their schedule, and they would be tickled if somebody said, hey, we want to do this ourselves, or we want to do this ourselves. You know, if you get the impression that, you know, somebody says, I have to do this, I have to do that, let me know, and we can try to work back through that and see, hey, you know, are you coming across too much a certain way? Because we absolutely don't want to do anything unscriptural that even looks wrong.
Thank you for your talk, Brett. That was really good. Just as a little side comment to the conversation you're having, Nathan, in Fresno, I did most of my own DVDs. I didn't know that deal with Matt was even available for a while. And maybe that's because California is a little more disconnected from everything over here. But I didn't have that impression, just, you know, to throw that out there. My comments and questions were actually relative to what Melvin said a minute ago, and then I had a question for you that you probably know what question I was going to ask, because I talked to you about it a couple months ago. Maybe you don't. Give myself too much credit there. Sorry. First of all, I think Melvin had a really good point about advertising our TV show. We don't do that as well as we should, and we're not utilizing all the tools to do that. And I think that the things that you brought out in this session are beneficial and helpful. But I was also going to say, in some of the things that I've been looking into just to advertise our New Year's meeting that we have coming up here, there's several things that are available to us that aren't that expensive that we're just not taking advantage of. You can rent billboards for a month or for 2 months for a relatively inexpensive cost, anywhere from $500 to less than $2,000 is the most expensive I've found. And that's a pretty good advertising tool to throw in front of somebody's face when they're sitting on the freeway in traffic, or if you have a good area for the billboard, or if it's a less expensive one, then they might see it driving by and say, hey, I can check out channel such and such at such and such time. So I think that's a good tool that we're not using. And also Facebook, just advertising our New Year's meeting, we experimented with trying to do that in this local area, and we can do that with a TV show too. You can reach into markets that are within 50 miles of a certain area, and it will target people who have shown interest or liked Churches of Christ, Church of Christ, Restoration Movement, etc. And it cost us $26 to reach 3,363 people. Eight or six of those people, I don't remember which, did something with that post. They clicked it or liked it or something, which that's not a whole lot, but you're putting the message in front of people. And that's an awful lot of people for a little bit of money. So I really think that we're not utilizing our advertisement. I really appreciate what Brother Melvin said about that and the things that you brought to light. I'm wrapping up. I'm sorry. My question. Most of our leads in this area come from digression from our Cups brethren. And I had talked to you about maybe extending a heartfelt appeal to them in one of our broadcasts and just directing everything in that sort of a focus and making an appeal to them to come out from the way that they worship. And I wonder what you thought about that.
I think it's an excellent idea. I'd like to work with you maybe and some others, kind of brainstorm on the best way to do that. Just have one entire message, you know, geared that way, and what would be appropriate. I like that. You found a billboard in Oklahoma City for $500?
Well, $500 to $2,000 is the range.
Okay.
The one that I found was actually $18, but he said he had those that were cheaper.
So okay.
I mean, asked him to roll in.
Yeah. Okay.
Which I had done a few years back in
California, so. Because that would be a great deal. And the Facebook thing, we've done some of that too, and it's an awesome way to target, you know, just exactly who you want to reach.
Okay, Brother Ronnie Wade. The larger any work grows, the more difficult it is to keep it scriptural. It's just that simple. That's exactly how the Missionary Society started, with an honest intent to preach the gospel to the lost. And in order to do that, the vision was to preach it to the whole world. And consequently, an organization grew out of that was totally not in harmony with what the Bible teaches. The largest organization among us is the local church. There is no organization in the Lord's church any larger than the local church. There is no scripture for five or six churches getting together and making a decision. That's unscriptural, because you've got an organization larger than the local church. I remember years ago at the Sulphur meeting, question came up about who was going to hold the meeting. They had a meeting of all the people who were there, and they were going to vote on who would hold the meeting the next year, when finally Brother Irvin Waters stood up and said, "Brethren, this is unscriptural. We are not a local church. We're a group of churches here, a group of people here from across the brotherhood, and we don't have any scriptural right to make a decision. A group of five churches don't have any right to make a decision about what's going to happen in a particular area. If a congregation wants to sponsor this program, they need to sponsor it. And if there are other churches that want to help by financially contributing directly to the TV station, that's fine. But when we go beyond that, brethren, we're in uncharted territory, and we're asking for big trouble."
Thank you.
Brother Wayne Fussell.
Brett, I appreciate what you're doing, and I agree with Nathan, I don't see how you get it all done. You do so much. Church in Shreveport has supported the meeting, or the television program, I think 3 years, something like that. And of course, Queensboro Church and Texarkana. And I'll just confess to you that I've dropped the ball as far as the contacts are concerned. Bobby and the congregation over there take care of the correspondence courses and such as that, and I send out the transcripts, and that's about all I've done. What I'd like for you to tell us, and I could give you some excuses, but I won't do that. Tell us, how does a person begin with these contacts? We've got 200 contacts. How should we approach those people? Should we call them first, or should we just show up at their front door, or at their front door? How should we approach them? Give us some information about how to do that.
Yeah, that's a good question. Important. How do we approach them? I think it's good to try different approaches. I think sometimes with different people, different approaches work. With any kind of contact, like, you know, sometimes we want to call them before we go see them, make sure they're home. But then sometimes if we call before we go, then sometimes they have a way of not being there. And if we go directly over there, then we can catch them home. So I think it's good to try, you know, different approaches. One thing that I'm increasingly finding very helpful, and I know some of you aren't on Facebook, but getting on Facebook and establishing a contact with people this way. Some of the people a little bit nervous maybe about meeting at first, you can get to talking with them about different subjects. They increase their comfort level, and I think that's one way. Also, even contacts by email. I think trying different ways, knowing that we don't know which way this particular individual is going to be most responsive. I think we need to talk to people like Frank and Sonny. Just how exactly is it that you do this? What you know, record yourself doing this. He's done it in front of some other people, and he's just so effective at, you know, building a relationship before, you know, he's trying to do too much with them. And, you know, if it's not you know, real good at first, well, he'll call back with him. He said some of the people that he talks to, and he's just chucked in every week and just seeing how they're doing, if they've been reading anything in the Bible, and having a little discussion with him. And some of these people that he hadn't yet got them to study with him, you know, they know that he's going to the Philippines, and they'll say, please, you know, let us know how that goes, and we'll be praying for you. And he's developing a friendship and a relationship. And, you know, you look at the story, you know, Jesus with a Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. He got right to it, but it wasn't the very first thing he talked about. Eventually they got to that, but he talked about about the most mundane thing in the world, about a drink of water. And so those are some thoughts I have.
Well, let me tell you how that we at 21st Street have done it, and it's been highly successful. Over 7 years, we got an average of 100 requests per month. And what we did, if somebody sent in for a sermon, we sent them a copy of that sermon. We sent them the name of two members and their telephone number with that of that congregation to that particular individual. And then we sent a letter to those two individuals and told them who the request was and their telephone number and their address. And that's in that manner we have been very, very successful.
Just a little follow-up, you know. I'm just reluctant to, you know, Facebook and all that. Some of these other guys, you know, my time is very, very, very limited. And we can't follow up on the leads that we have hardly. And if I get on Facebook, then you got responses. You have to respond to people, emails. And that's one of the reasons I'm just reluctant to get connected to some of these other things, because it takes away from the, I'm in a negative time situation as it is. So it's just difficult. And maybe getting with some of these other guys can kind of help. But I tell you, time is the resource that I think all of us probably don't have a whole lot of, especially if you work full time and you got a full time church. You know, it's just really got to study. You have to follow up. You know, it's just a lot of things. So anyway, I guess I'm just commenting.
Well, I appreciate that. I absolutely understand what you're saying. I appreciate all that you've done with it. I think we need to encourage our younger men to become, you know, get some experience working with some of these guys, become more better at it, and to help us out in some of these different ways, you know, a little bit different approach, more of a personal work before the meeting type thing.
And then, you know, these small congregations, you don't have a lot of people who really want to get involved. It was mentioned the other day, you know, just had a core group of people you can depend on, but if you overload them, then, you know, they're kind of burnt out, and it's just kind of a vicious cycle.
Okay, Ronnie Wade, one short question, one short answer.
I just want to address this idea of leads. You know, it's difficult to know what is a good lead. It really is. You have to, you know, you don't always know. Brett sent me a name a week or so ago, and I went to see this lady, and she really didn't want me there on her doorstep at all. And I didn't know that till I got there, though. And it was very evident that she was interested in getting the material that he mailed her, but she was not interested in a visit from me or anybody else. And you don't always know that, though. You get these letters, and you've got to try to decide, is this a good one or is it not a good one? And by process of elimination sometime, you finally get to the answer. If you answered by going to see every letter you got, especially in our area, you'd travel hundreds of miles every week, because they're miles apart. Some of them you have a hard time even locating them because they're on rural routes. So what I think you have to do, and this is purely, you know, it's a human endeavor on all of our part, you have to discern as best you can from the letter itself. If somebody says, send me a copy of your sermon last Sunday, that means they're interested in what you said. Does it mean they're a good lead? Not necessarily. But it may turn into a good lead later on. And so it's a matter of picking and choosing based on the evidence you have that was presented in the letter they wrote. And you have to, if you run down every lead, that's all you're going to get done. And sometimes they're not leads at all, but sometimes they are. And you're looking for that one lead that is the good lead that ends up in a conversion.
Thanks. Some of the leads, I went to visit a lead, it sounded really good, the letter, and had a mountain home address. But I learned that you can have a mountain home address and it takes an hour to get there, just the way, and all the hills and all that. This person that Ronnie was talking about, I went to see her 4 years ago because she sounded like a good lead. Several requests, and she wasn't interested in talking. But in the last year, she made request after request, and then she sent a card and had a number of Bible questions. I thought, well, maybe. If anybody can do it, Ronnie can do it. And she just slammed the door on him. So a lot of time it is guessing. But there are some leads that when they come through, for example, say something like, I'm looking for the congregation closest to where I live, those leads, we stop everything and we go get to that immediately, because that is a very good lead.
First Street, just about two months ago, got a telephone call, and a woman said that I'd like to have someone to come by and pick me up and take me to the Church of Christ. And she called me by my name. And Alan and I had gone and seen her several years ago. And I asked her, I said, how did you get my name? She said, 11 years ago, you came and visited me. I was listening to the TV program. So the moral is, each one of your congregations, keep a copy of every
person that has requested anything, and don't give up on them. Okay, we'll be back at 10:30.
Can I just have a final comment?
Can I have a final comment?
Okay.
If you think that I'm doing something that may be unscriptural, just talk to me. I'm a pretty nice guy. If you think some of these other things and some of these other people that are doing things that are unscriptural, these guys that are involved in this, I'm confident they don't want to do anything unscriptural. Maybe some of these things they haven't even thought about. Do them the courtesy of just calling them up directly as a friend, and I think you'll have an amazing discussion, and I think you'll be amazed at how willing they will be to, well, let's find a way to do this differently so there's no objection. But it kind of hurts your feelings when people act like, well, if we ever talk to him directly, I don't know what he might do. You know, I just think we should talk to each other directly if we have a problem.